I'm going to warn you that the what you're about to hear may be disturbing. I find it inspiring. These are the officers, Rex Engelbert and Michael Colazzo, engaging the Nashville gunman who gunned down three children, three adults. They showed incredible fortitude with this engagement.
Shots fired, shots fired, shots fired, move. Right, right, right. Push an LPBO. Push an LPBO. Go right. Move, move. Watch out, watch out. Move. Stop moving! Stop moving!
And with that, the subject was down. If you get a chance to look at it, it's pretty incredible, and you do see some hesitation. They are human, but they did what they had to do. But one of the things that was a terribly disturbing image, by now you've probably seen it, is just how easily the gunman breached locked school doors. Let's have a discussion about school safety with Mike Kinishuk. He's the former Brighton police chief and now 360 life safety instructor. Chief Mike, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me what you see when you looked at that video.
Well, the first thing I saw was the entry. When you've got the person that can shoot through the glass and simply walk through, then no matter how secure your building is, you've allowed an entry point that should be addressed.
Are there better doors than that?
Well, it could be doors. The other thing that, quite frankly, works very well is a product by 3M, which is a safety film that actually goes on the interior of the glass that even if you shoot through it, maintains the integrity and would slow down any person that was trying to breach that particular point.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked at just how that door glass seemed to melt away after only a couple of rounds.
Yes, and that's a vulnerability that many schools have, and a lot of people don't think of that. Matter of fact, a lot of times when you go around to school, you'll see landscaping rocks and other items that could be used to actually break a glass or create an entryway, you know, for somebody that's got some type of evil intent.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that was notable in that is that the officers began clearing the first floor and vital minutes were wasted. Now, we don't know if anyone was shot in the interim. But it certainly gives rise to the importance of what I know some schools now have here in Metro Detroit, which is hallway cameras that can be linked with dispatchers in law enforcement so that they can track that suspect and at least provide that level of information to officers. They could have told them very quickly, she's on the second floor.
Yes, and certainly that would help. The problem that you have in some of these instances, though, is that if you have more than one assailant, then it's whether or not you can track both those people at the same time. Cameras are great. I like cameras for telling us the story after the event, typically. But unless it's monitored and something that you've got in real time, they really don't provide a lot of information. So in most cases, officers are trained to run to the gun. There to listen for shots fired and get there as quickly as possible. And it appeared that that's what these officers did.
Yeah, we should point out for those that were listening to that clip that this was one of those instances where she appeared to be firing at random, that she was in a vestibule and it was there were no targets there apparently for her, thank God. But she was firing at random and it was almost a siren call to officers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've made in law enforcement so many different adjustments over the years, starting back with Columbine. And so getting there quickly, having the right tools to end it as quickly as possible is very important. And of course, the training has to be ongoing continuously because, quite frankly, it's muscle memory. You've got to be able to do these things without having to really think about them.
There was a question yesterday during the scrum with the chief where someone asked, was there a school resource officer? And he looked kind of dumbfounded. He said, well, no, this was a church school, as if somehow that's a foreign idea. Do we need we got national standards for fire safety. It doesn't matter whether it's a parochial school or a public school, right? They have to maintain fire code. Do we need a national school security standard and code for these kinds of incidents?
We do. And quite frankly, the fire service has done an outstanding job. We don't see deaths in schools in this day and age because the materials have changed. We have fire detection. We have fire extinguishers. We have so many things that are just become commonplace that it makes it so much easier. We just don't have that.
Why not?
For these active assailants. I don't think, you know, part of it is that it's really hard to describe. For some reason, and I've never been able to put my finger on it, is that, you know, everybody is pretty complacent about it'll never happen here until the day after it does. And so I think that, unfortunately, we need a national standard. We need to have schools set up in a certain fashion, like that window film. I mean, a lot of schools may not even know that it exists.
Right.
And without that knowledge, they can't protect their children. And of course, we don't expect teachers to attack gunmen.
No, and yet, you know, and I feel like I'm victim blaming here, but that school was very poorly protected in a number of ways. And we don't ever want to blame the victim, but there are things that we can do. And if we had a national standard like that, there would be no question. They were charging $16,000 per student for tuition there. You think that they would have a school resource officer of some kind?
Well, if they didn't have the school resource officer, they could do some of the simple tasks. And one of those is to bring in a professional that can do a school safety assessment. They want to do that vulnerability assessment to tell them, here are your biggest weak points that you have within your building, and here are the ones that you need to address. And certainly by laying out those simple security measures. And we know that all budgets are tight, and it's very difficult to come up with money for some of these things. But if you were to prioritize and starting with the outside of the building and working your way in, you would find that there's so many more benefits to having not only that assessment, but knowing that your security has started from the outside in. You got to keep the bad guy out long enough for law enforcement to respond.
This may have been one of those cases where had law enforcement been informed about her mental disability, and she was, according to Chief John Drake, she was being treated for an emotional disorder. Cut six, please, Mike.
They felt that she had one weapon and that she sold it. She was under care, doctor's care, for an emotional disorder. Law enforcement knew nothing about the treatment she was receiving. But her parents felt that she should not own weapons. They were under the impression that was when she sold the one weapon that she did not own anymore. As it turned out, she had been hiding several weapons within the house.
Seven weapons in the house, Chief. I got to ask you, what do we do about this culture where the family said, look, she's obviously a danger. We don't want her to have guns. But they never told law enforcement.
Yeah, and that's something that we've got to change. I think that in this day and age, we need the whole community to weigh in on these type of situations. We need the parents. We need relatives. We need friends. We need anybody that can provide that information and get it to the law enforcement people. And, of course, have the things in place that allows law enforcement to come and deal with it. A lot of times what you have is that we're not hearing about things until it's too late. And things like we just heard just a moment ago, is very frustrating because we know that if somebody said something, this could have been stopped. We have stopped thousands of these throughout the United States just based on the fact that we get the information and we take it and investigate it and make sure that the school and the community is safe.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things. They don't have a red flag law in Tennessee. And the chief said, look, if we had been told about this, we would have found a way. There are still ways that we could have done this and made sure that she didn't go out. And she purchased seven weapons from five different dealers. So she was even hopscotching around to try to cover up what she was doing. Chief Mike Hynishuk, we thank you so much for your insights to this. There are a lot of lessons that can be drawn. One of them is, though, that gunmen, people that want to do evil things, security matters. She took this target because she thought others might be more problematic, and it does matter.
Absolutely. It does matter. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Well, Chief Mike Kinishuk with 360 Life Safety Instructor. When we come back, your calls, 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0WJR. A leading Republican, former prosecutor, he just came out on Fox and said, look, red flag laws are not evil here. We can do them. We can do them well. You'll hear from him as well next on The Guy Gordon Show.